You know, Arsen Panayotovich, if you've been listening to WGN Radio today, you know that he was out there, not for the concert, but he was watching the stream of people pouring out of the concert, I believe from his car. He's going to catch up with us again in a little bit. And I mentioned that there's this young man I just spoke to off the air in the office a little while ago named Kyle Harris. He's an Oak Brook kid, about 25 years old. Oak Park. Yeah, he's from Oak Park. And he manages a restaurant out there now. And he was at the concert. I just posted a picture of him standing there as the carnage is sort of unfolding around him. He didn't take the picture. Somebody else did. And lo and behold, it's appeared in social media. We took that picture, posted it, and just reminded you that he'll tell us his first-person experience in about a half an hour. And we'll sort of keep you posted on the numbers and the story as it unfolds. You just heard that the number is at 58 and... what was it, 515? Is that what we're saying now, Steve? 515 people injured.
With one injury or another, right, treated for some sort of injury.
Yeah, we don't know how many of those were bullet wounds and how many of those were trampling or falling injuries or something like that, right?
Correct.
I mean, it's in fact, as I was talking to this young man off the air, Kyle, who will join us in about half an hour, he was saying that from his vantage point, he was just watching the people rushing out and piling up. In fact, in some of the video that you'll see, if you choose to, you'll hear a lot of people, even as the bullets are cracking overhead, say, should we go or not go? And actually discussing this, you know, everybody's recording the concert on their phones. And so you've got the video and audio, and there's this real-time discussion with people on the ground about should we get up and make a run for it. You're afraid that the machine gun fire is going to start going off again and you'll get hit. And some of them were saying, no, we'll get trampled if we go now or if we don't go now. It's sort of like this life and death decision. What do we do next? What do we do next? Do we stay on the ground? Do we stand up and run? If we run, we might get hit by a bullet and we may be part of the stampede, and that can be deadly too. What do you do? Sam Panayotovich is on line 7. Hi, Sam. It's John. Thanks for joining us here. How are you, man?
Well, John, it's been an exhausting 12 hours, pretty emotionally draining. I go back 12 hours, 11 o'clock p.m. local time. I was in a car. My brother was driving. A bunch of friends were heading back from dinner to go back to our hotel. Didn't know what we were going to embark on. Thought maybe some blackjack, maybe some roulette, and everything changed. We were barricaded off the strip at Flamingo Road about 11:30 or so, and we were wondering why. What's going on? Why can't we get to our hotel, which we had to turn right and get back onto the strip? They had barricaded everything off, and we had lowered the windows to try and get a sense of what was going on. All we heard were sirens, sirens upon sirens upon sirens. And then moments later, as we're gridlocked at this intersection, just trying to get back to our room, you start seeing droves of people booking it, just running away from what we learned was the shooting at Mandalay Bay. They were just taking off and trying to get as far away as possible from the scene. People weaving through cars, running, crying, screaming, shouting, some of them with blood on their clothes, and people getting out of Ubers and cabs and party buses in our vicinity just to join the crowd in fleeing because nobody knew what was going on. The uncertainty was very eerie.
Right. So while you knew they were the victims coming at you or the people fleeing the scene, you didn't know, or the people around you didn't know, if the carnage wasn't going to be visited on you too, huh? Who knows what's around the corner?
We had no idea. And the radio, the local radio, and of course social media, if you were to follow social media, which some people in the car were, there were reports of shootings at 5 or 6 hotels. There
right.
was a bomb threat at the Luxor. So we didn't know where to go. And the conversation in the car was, well, do we drive to Reno? Do we drive around the city limits? Do we try and go back to the hotel? Because we had heard multiple shooters at multiple places. They were playing checkers. We were playing chess. We didn't know what to do. And that's the scariest part about it, because you try and stay calm and collected and cool, but you just don't know. And, of course, at the time, we have no idea that we're a part of or near the biggest shooting in American history, you know, casualty-wise. You don't know that at the time. You don't know the facts. So we're trying to find the facts while at the same time trying to navigate throughout Vegas without having any idea what's going on.
It's interesting because right after Boston or during the Boston Marathon bombing, The social media was quick, and it was helpful, and it was also quick, and it was a disservice. Much was incorrectly reported then, and my understanding is that social media got a lot wrong right away in this case. And sometimes it's people using the situation for who knows what reason. Sometimes it's people that are trying to help, you know, relaying, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I'm hearing, but relaying information that's just not accurate. President Obama's speech after Sandy Hook, he had to compose himself. I watched it again today, and it was 15 seconds. He just stood there and then wiped his eye and then went on and then paused and did it again. The president's speech was really good today. He was not as emotional. And the speeches both, I think, sort of fit the circumstances in the time. We'll talk more about that down the road. Back to you, Sam Panionovic. You were in a vehicle then with some friends. How many, were you in a car, a cab? Were you renting a vehicle? What was that situation?
We rented a van. My brother was in shotgun. No, my brother was driving. We had six people in total, including myself, and just trying to get back to the hotel. Just like I said, though, the inability to realize
know.
What was going on, well, to have any idea.
Sam, you know, so let's just go back to that point. Some of the video I saw today showed vehicles that were much closer to the scene, and those people were actually triaging, like opening up the doors of their vans and saying, quick, get in, we'll get you to a hospital, even as there were scores of ambulances there. You're talking about, you know, maybe the need for 600 people to get in emergency vehicles and get out of there. So some citizens were just grabbing other citizens, putting them in their cars and ferrying them off. Did you see anything like that take place?
No, not where we were. We were a little bit further down the strip, I'd say about five or six blocks. And, you know, as the reports were filing through, I imagine a lot of people in the car radios were, you know, listening to the information, because all you could hear were sirens. All you could see were flashing lights, red, white, and blue, red and white, you know, for the cop cars, for the fire trucks, for the ambulances. So people just decided that they were not going to be trapped at this intersection, and they wanted to get out. That's what I saw from there. Let me take it to when I finally got back to the hotel. This is about 30 minutes later. We're walking through the lobby, people are frantically pacing all over the place, running around. John, nobody's gambling. Nobody's eating. Nobody's drinking. Nobody's doing anything that everybody does in Vegas.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, that must be a first, yeah.
Vegas is a place where you come to escape. It's a place that you can have all the fun in the world at. You can win money. You can lose money. You can do this. You can do that. And when I finally got up to my room, I overlooked the strip. The hotel overlooks the strip. Not a car on the strip. The only people near the strip are the ones running away from the strip. It was very eerie.
Yeah. So you're going to be out there a couple more days? Because I understand that flights have been canceled. They're opening the airport back up, or flights are getting out. But what's your travel plan then?
I'm not going to change much. I've got dinner tonight. I've got plans tomorrow. I'm coming back on Wednesday. That won't change. I'm not going to let one wacko alter my life. But I did just want to say one more thing real quick. The first responders and the police and the firemen, I already shook a couple firemen and policemen's hands early this morning. When I finally left the hotel about, I don't know, 8 o'clock local time, after all the hits I've been doing all morning, just thanking them for what they did. I mean, if you really think about it, John, and I think the reason that the multiple shooters angle came out was because this guy, Stephen Paddock, had over 10 rifles in his room, and he was shooting out of multiple windows that he had broken open. He was just reloading magazines in the clips, and all the bullets, it was unfathomable that it was from one person. And I think you have to give so much credit to those policemen that were brave enough to go down that hallway and make this guy end it. Because if they don't go down there, he's up there just picking people off for hours. He had that much ammo. He had that many weapons.
So all weekend long, I was watching Ken Burns' Vietnam. And, you know, they got machine guns in Vietnam. It's amazing to me how much this sounded like a firefight in Vietnam. You know, both sides, and literally both sides firing in those battle scenes. But this sounded like a battle scene. There was so much, you know, there were so many bullets coming out of that window or that room that he was in. You can't believe that it was just one guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I followed up on a lot of these reports. I mean, this was psychotically planned out. He checked into his room on Thursday. He planned out every single detail. His room overlooked the exit of the concert. There was only one exit. Everybody had to leave through one path, and the path they were leaving just so happened to be right in the vicinity of his launch angle where he was firing bullets. He built platforms in his room so he could aim better. He knocked out two windows so he could shoot at different angles, and he unleashed on a country music crowd on the biggest, most popular headline event on the biggest day on a Sunday night. This was calculated. This was vicious, man.
Okay, buddy. Well, I'm sorry for everybody. You know, you and I are lucky to not have to feel it maybe as closely as those other people do. It's just insane. And you know, you always talk to me on Monday about our football picks. You always do five games. What are we, 2-2 here, Sam?
Yeah, football seems like such a footnote today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In the Super Contest, it was a rough, weird weekend in the NFL. We won two, we lost two. We've got the Monday night game tonight, Redskins +6.5. If we win that, we'll be in the top 80, which is back in the top, like, 7%. We're 212th right now, but we're still picking 67%. We're 12-6-1. If we win tonight, we'll have 13.5 points, and we're on our way.
I'll talk to you later. Safe travels.
You got it.
Sam Panionovich, join, I think he's going to be on with Roe later on if more information becomes available. He's obviously closer to the scene than we are. But here's just the sound. I don't know how much of it you've heard. I watched a lot of TV today. I listened to the radio as well. But there's plenty of videos that are being posted. And to the point that you can understand why they thought it was multiple shooters, the sound from the ground was like this. It's, I think in the instances where we've seen or heard shooting, it's bam, 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 even if it's fast. That's a machine gun. We're just not used to that kind of firepower. Terrible day. It's 121. This is WGN.